Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 13th of April, 2026, and it's a Monday evening, and the time is 4 minutes past the hour of nine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, one thing that I would like to ask is, what happens when your life falls apart?
Change. When was the last time that life threw you a curveball? When was the last time that life threw you a curveball? Did you lose your job? A relationship fall apart? Or something really important to you just didn't happen? It can be devastating, can't it? And then for everything we have just gone through, from the pandemic, global conflicts, rising living costs, extreme weather, it's no wonder so many of us are feeling anxious, overwhelmed, and burnt out. But what if change isn't the problem, but who you're being will decide whether you collapse or transform? Even when everything around you feels like it's falling apart, you can ask these very two simple yet powerful questions. Let me take you back to the moment I discovered this for myself. I'm home one evening and I ring my mum. Mum, it's not good news. The doctor says that I can't have children anymore. And I so wanted to have children. Yeah, I know, Mum. Some people aren't meant to have children or get married. But why me? Why me? And everything just grinds to a halt. The reality hits me that I will never carry, birth, or raise my child. And everything just halts. I remember I sink to the ground, crying. You know that type of crying where every part of your body feels like it's been ripped apart? That was my curveball. What challenge have you gone through that's had you fall to your knees? Because over the next 6 months, I'm just filled with sadness. I'm overwhelmed. One minute I'm okay, and then the next, I'm on the tube and I just burst out crying and I can't stop. My life felt like it was falling apart. And at some point, I wanted to give up on it. Now, luckily for me, I believe God stepped in and he had my friend Jennifer come and find me. Now, everything about Jennifer is big. She's got big eyes, big smile, big personality. And I tell her everything I've been putting myself through. Jennifer, with tears in her eyes, she sits me down. And she asked me those two simple but powerful questions. The first was, who are you being that's not serving you and others? Huh? What do you mean, Jen, who am I being? Well, are you being angry, annoyed, frustrated? Oh, I get it. And I'd never thought about it that way before. I said, okay, I guess I'm definitely feeling sad. I'm feeling hopeless. And I'm feeling so lost. And as I sat reflecting, I had grieved. And there's nothing wrong with being sad. But I could see that I had been in the space of sadness for so long. It was having a huge impact in my life. By being hopeless, I was finding it really hard to go to work. And so I was having a real financial strain. And by being lost, I felt stuck. I couldn't even see my dreams anymore. Now, think about your life for a moment. When things don't go the way you want in, say, your relationships, your career, or an area of life that's really important to you, how are you being in those moments? Calm, defensive, patient, reserved, hopeful, resigned. Because I want you to consider that it's not what you're doing that's creating your results. It's who you're being. Your being's like the captain of the ship. It's guiding most of your actions and your results. It's that silent, invisible step that actually comes before the actions. Another way to think about this is we could have two people who externally have the same things going on, same team, project, finance, outcomes. But the person over here who's being resigned, cynical, frustrated, is very potentially going to take different steps and actions from the person over here who's being open, creative, passionate. Different ways of being create different actions, create different results. Can you see it? That's the power of being human. And then when we look at the world around us right now, there are ways of being that are just adding more weight, turmoil, and pressure to an already uncertain journey of life. The World Economic Forum survey found that 40% of those employers expect to reduce roles as AI automates more. And the World Health Organization estimates that over 1 billion people worldwide are living with a mental health condition. That's roughly 1 in 8. So who are you and I going to be about that? Because who we're being is shaping the world around us. And if we don't start to have honest conversations about who we're being, we're going to keep on adding fuel to the very fire that we're trying to put out. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not all doom and gloom. Because we have ways of being that is absolutely incredible. We've created this phenomenal world around us. Passionate, creative, bold, thoughtful. But it's our ways of being that don't serve us, that if we stay in them too long, they can keep us stuck the way I was stuck. Now, this idea that who we're being shapes our world may not be new to you. It's been around for a very long time. But if you're being honest, are you living it consciously in your everyday life? If you are, fabulous. And if you're not, maybe ask yourself why. Through my experience, I've seen that sometimes we don't notice our way of being because we're just on autopilot a lot of times. It's in our blind spot. Sometimes we see it, but we're not quite ready to change, or we don't feel the full force of an impact until the partner finally walks away. Your finances bring you down to your knees. Or unfortunately and regrettably, our health begins to decline. So many people wait for the crash of an impact to change. But you don't have to. I want to share with you the NICA approach. N-I-C-A. Because life is full of challenges. They help us to grow and evolve. But sometimes change will bring these challenges. and we need to move through them. So the first step is notice. Get present to your way of being that's not working for you and others, or maybe you feel stuck or stopped. Your job is very simple at this step. Be self-aware to self-correct. Because haven't you found how easy it is to notice how other people are being? I can see the nodding of the heads. Yes. But a way to look at it is how somebody else is being is just information about them.
Cyber threats are no longer just an IT problem. They are a risk to our national security and the core of our economy. Join various leaders and industry stakeholders at the 3rd Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibition, NICSC 2026, taking place from the 22nd to the 24th of April at Arabush Travelodge in Windhoek. Corporate early bird registrations close on the 31st of March. So register now at dstech.com.na. NICSC 2026. Securing Africa's digital future.
How you respond is information about you. I know, that one can sting at times. But if you don't like what you see, please don't beat yourself up. Because remember, after all, you're a human being. So don't forget the human side and be humane to yourself. Because after all, we're not human doings, who are we? Human beings, exactly. It's in our title. The second step is interrupt. Now, I do find this can be the hardest because our ego wants to defend, justify, gives reasons and excuses why to remain the same. But if you can see that there's a negative impact happening around you, and other people, then it's time to interrupt that pattern. The third is create. Now, remember my friend Jennifer. She asked those two questions. The first was, who are you being that's not serving you and others? Her second question opens the door to what's possible. She said, Elaine, who would you love to be? I wanted to say Beyonce, but I knew what she meant at that point. And I said, who do I want to be? Well, you know what? I want to be responsible. I want to be connected. And I want to be forgiving. And as I said it, I felt hopeful and excited for the first time in such a long while. And as I went through my life and I picked myself back up, I started to be responsible, which meant I took ownership of what happened. I started to be responsible in other areas of my life, my finances and my career. And I went on to create an amazing speaking career. By being connected, I reached out to all the people that I had pushed away and they embraced me. And by being forgiving, I let go of resentment. I forgave God. I forgave men. Yes, I was blaming you. And the hardest, and yet the most healing, I forgave myself. So who would you love to be in an area of your life? And what would that make possible for you? Because the good thing about it is you've been most ways of being at some point in your life. They're not alien to you. So why not every morning create three new ways of being that you can step into every day? Vibrant, energized, sassy. And that will automatically move you on to the last step, which is action. What action are you now going to take with these new ways of being? And I know it's not always easy to take actions. They can be very scary, but you just need to take it one step at a time. Because if you're being courageous, Will you now start that business you've been speaking about for quite a while? If you're being adventurous, will you take that solo trip around the world? And if you're being bold, maybe you're going to ask out that person that you've been crushing on for a little while now. But we do need to take action. Change can bring challenges. So if you ever feel that life is falling apart, or you feel challenged, or you just want a better outcome, ask yourself those two important questions. Who am I being that's not serving me and others? And who would I love to be? Practice them, live them, breathe them until they become second nature. Because when you start to live life that way, life doesn't happen to you. It unfolds through you. You stop reacting to life and you start creating it. You become the conscious captain steering the ship to the destination of your choosing. Imagine a world where we're really focused on who we're being. The ripple effect? Well, communities flourishing, families healing, conflicts softening into understanding. So remember, who you're being is a moment by moment discovery. Who you become, oh, that's a lifelong journey of growth, self-discovery, and change. Thank you.
Have any of you heard the expression that networking isn't about what you know, but who you know? Yeah? How many of you believe it? I did too. But my life experiences would prove me wrong. My life experiences have taught me and continue to teach me that networking isn't about what you know or who you know. Networking is about who knows you, and ultimately, who trusts you. As an educator, I like to prove my point right away. Any of you wondering how I got the opportunity to be in front of all of you here tonight? I can be honest and say that I have looked into giving a TED conference in the past. I did a ton of research on the conferences and the organizers, and I knew a lot about the organizers. But just because I knew a lot about them doesn't mean that they knew anything about me. So yes, I applied, and I'm sure you can guess my response rate. It was zero. And then something magical happened last fall. One of my students asked to meet for office hours. We met on the third floor of Weiser Hall, and I met her at the front door, because as everybody knows, at 5 p.m., the door is locked. So I took her, we walked back to one of the small conference rooms, grabbing coffee along the way. So we chit-chatted a little bit, and then she handed me her resume. She wanted my thoughts. What do I see at the top of the experience section? TEDx U of M. Huh, I remember asking, what do you do for TEDx U of M? Her response, I identify speakers. Huh? How do you do that? And then she responded with, just like this, Tina Sula, I think it's time for you to give a TED Talk. So I laughed out loud, the real LOL, grabbed my phone, and I asked if I could take a picture. And I said that if I indeed would have the opportunity to give a TED Talk, I wanted to share the story and the picture with the audience. So here is that picture. The person, The person you see on the screen, to all of you, she's the head organizer of the conference. That's Sam Tandy. But to me, Sam is one of my students. And I believe that Sam gave me the opportunity to be here with all of you today because Sam knew me, she liked me, and she trusted me with all of you. And I think we all know that people really do give opportunities to those they know, to those they like, and to those they trust. So then, if people give opportunities to those they know, to those they like, and to those they trust, then how can we become known, liked, and trusted? Networking, of course. I have been teaching networking at the University of Michigan for 11 years. I laugh when I think about it because I should have been the last person in the world to teach networking. I graduated Michigan without a job. But with time, I would learn how to network, and I would eventually network my way into teaching networking at Michigan. I teach the class I wish somebody would have taught me as a student. When I came to the University of Michigan as a student, I had two dreams. I wanted to become a future U.S. ambassador to Albania, and I wanted to become an immigration attorney. I wanted to become an immigration attorney because my family immigrated to the U.S. when I was 9 years old. I knew immigration. I was the person that would fill out all the immigration paperwork. And for extra practice, my mom over there would tell all her friends that if they needed help, Tina would be the person to help. So when I came to Michigan, I wanted to maximize my undergraduate experience and prepare for life after graduation as an immigration attorney. And I did everything the University of Michigan had to offer. I did undergraduate research with Europe, the Undergraduate Research Opportunities Program. I did independent study. I interned at the International Institute of Flint. I did Michigan in Washington, which is a semester program in D.C., where I interned at a think tank. I interned at the U.S. Embassy in Kyiv, Ukraine. I interned when I studied abroad in Madrid. I did a lot of things. But regardless of, you know, what I thought was a very impressive resume, I still graduated Michigan without a job. Two things would happen. The first thing that happened is that somebody that I met, and I really wish I knew who it was, said to me, well, Tina, you have to learn how to network. And I was like, great, what is that? They explained something, and I don't think it really made sense, so I did the next best thing. I went to the Google. Google didn't give me much either. So then I moved on. The second thing that I remember happening was that I was asked to give a speech at the donor recognition dinner for the College of Literature, Science, and the Arts. I was a scholarship student at Michigan. I was a Bentley Scholar, an amazing opportunity given to me by the Bentley Foundation. At that dinner, I would sit next to Peggy Burns. Peggy Burns was the dean for development. Development. As a poli-sci major, I thought it was like international development. I would chat with Peggy and I would learn that development and development officers give philanthropists an opportunity to find meaning in their life through their giving and use those resources to support the communities those organizations served. Peggy and I hit it off. And at some point she says to me, what are you doing after graduation? I started thinking to myself, I will probably never see this person again. By the way, this is code for if you think that, you will see that person again. So I responded to her and I said, I'm studying for the LSAT and I need a part-time job. Why might you have something for me? She didn't have a chance to respond because the dean started the program. And then eventually I would go give my speech. On my way back to my seat, I remember Peggy digging through her big black purse, looking for a business card. She hands it to me and says, when you're done with the LSAT, call me. And I did something most people don't do. I actually called her. A couple of weeks later, I found myself as her research intern. A few months after that, she comes back from a conference, drops this really big binder on my desk, and says, "How would you like to start a program?" The program we started is 18 years old this year. It's called the College Connections Program. We hired recent grads to go and interview alumni all around the country and eventually all around the world. I met with 1,100 University of Michigan alums in 3 years. While I was working as a College Connections coordinator, I was pursuing two degrees, a master's in public policy.
Every journey starts with a heartbeat. And for your car, that heartbeat is every part working perfectly together. At Motovec, we don't just sell parts. We keep your car alive. From brakes to batteries, filters to fluids, we power every drive, every trip, every moment. Motovec, the heartbeat behind your journey.
And a master's in higher ed. And I had to pursue an internship. So I found myself being picked to go and intern at the U.S. mission to the United Nations in Geneva, Switzerland. So I remember going to Peggy and the team, and I said, "Would you like me to interview some alumni while I'm in Europe?" And everybody said, "That sounds like a great idea." So I did. And guess what these alums had to say? "We love U of M too. We want somebody to connect us with the college." So I brought that information back. I finished my degree, and I was going to leave to go change immigration policy in D.C. Then I met a guy, and then I had to pick, do I stay here or do I go? So I stayed, and I remember going to Peggy and saying, "I'm staying." And she said, "We want to keep you." And she's like, "Well, what do you want to do?" And I said, "I want to solve for that pain point of those international alums." And that's how we got to build the International Giving and Engagement Program at the College of Literature, Science, and the Arts. And the thing that I will never forget that Peggy said was, "Tina, I can't make you a U.S. ambassador, but I can make you a U.M. ambassador." And that's exactly what she did. A few years after that, Peggy decided to leave U of M to go to Henry Ford, and she said, "Follow me." So I had to make this decision. Do I leave a very global job for a very local one? But the decision was very easy, because when you find someone who believes in you and someone who gives you opportunities, what do? You follow them. But before I left to go to join Peggy at Henry Ford, I had one last trip, Singapore. I found myself having lunch with the dean of the college at the Mario Batali restaurant in Marina Bay Sands. I remember this. We were eating pizza and drinking Singaporean slings, and this conversation turned into an exit interview where the dean said, "We're going to miss you," said a lot of nice things, and then he said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" My response, "Yes. Yes, there is." And he's like, "Well, what is it?" I said, "I want to teach a class on networking because I don't want to see any other students graduate U of M without a job." And he's like, "That sounds great. How can I help?" I told him how he could help, and he actually helped. That conversation happened in May of 2015. I was teaching that September. So I owe the opportunity to teach the class that I love to Andrew Martin, who is the chancellor right now at WashU in St. Louis. I love being a fundraiser because I got to learn so much about living a meaningful life from my donors. So my conversations from my donors and the lessons that I was learning from them, I would bring to my students. And the conversations and reflections that I would have with my students in my Monday night class, we turned into frameworks and ideas and insights that we would eventually test in the real world. And I want to share some of those ideas with all of you here today. The first thing I want to discuss is actually the definition of networking. As soon as I say the word networking, all of you probably have a visual in your head based on the experiences that you've had with networking. What is networking to you? The definition that I'm about to share on the screen has taken me 11 years. And it will probably change again, because I always get the feedback of my students, the feedback of learners. Maybe one of you here or many of you here will send me a message afterwards with your thoughts. It's a definition that happens in real time. So here is that definition. Networking is the process of building, nurturing, and activating relationships in order to access opportunity to reach a shared goal or purpose. Networking is a process. A process is repeatable. It is not a transaction. The what of networking is accessing opportunity. We network to access opportunity. The why of networking is so we can reach a shared goal or purpose. And how we do it is through the relationship building process. Building means you meet somebody. Nurturing is the back and forth that happens as you build that relationship stronger. And then activating is when you have a lot of trust, then you can share opportunities with one another. So I have a lot of students, and myself included, we're visual learners. So this is how it plays out in a visual. You have two people. Building the relationship means now they connect, now they know each other. Nurturing a relationship is the back and forth that happens. The more conversations you have with somebody, the thicker that line, right? The thicker the line, the higher the trust. So physics was probably my worst subject in high school. I didn't take any in college. But I often think about Newton's third law, which is for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This plays out in relationships too. So when you reach out to someone, for a relationship to happen, they have to respond back. And if people don't respond back, then that relationship will end in atrophy. So if you reach out to people, they don't respond, you're literally talking to yourself. So only when people respond can you actually start the relationship building process. So if people engage with you, they know you back. So networking is really about who knows you. Because English is my second language, I think a lot about words. Whose? Whose are people? People give opportunities to people. So when I talk with students and they say, I got an internship at GM. I got an internship at Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola didn't give them an internship. A person at Coca-Cola made a decision to give them an internship. So as an immigrant, we believe that America is the land of opportunity. But when you land at Detroit Wayne County Airport, and then you go grab your bag, and then you go, you know, through the automatic doors, opportunities aren't falling from the sky. You don't be like, oh, opportunity one, opportunity two, opportunity three. Opportunities come from people. This insight for me, I mean, it seems so common sense, but common sense really isn't all that common. This insight led me to articulate the networking mindset. The networking mindset is the belief that we can achieve our goals and purposes through our relationship with others. Through our relationship with others. If people don't know you, then you don't have a relationship. And if you don't have a relationship, how can you access opportunity? How to achieve your goal or purpose? So I have given you a definition. I have given you a visual. I've even put some physics in there. Now I want to give you a math equation. And here is that math equation. Visibility times expertise equals opportunities. If expertise is 100%, 200%, 300%, if visibility is zero, anything multiplied by zero is zero. Visibility matters. It's about who knows you, because most decisions that are made in rooms where you're not present. I want to share with you my favorite networking strategy. And that strategy is, if you help people get what they want, they'll help you get what you want. If you make people feel seen, heard, understood, and valued, they will do anything for you. I was chatting with somebody earlier today where they said, in today's day and, you know, age, all you have to do is be nice. So the more we do to serve other people, the more likely they will help us achieve our goals and purposes. I believe in everything that I've shared with all of you here tonight. I believe it so strongly that I believe my dream of becoming future U.S. ambassador to Albania will one day happen. Or should I say, I'm crazy enough to believe that one day it will happen. And I want to tell you exactly how it will happen. I really believe that one of my students will one day become congressman, senator, and even U.S. president. And it'll probably be Sam. They're going to find themselves in a meeting at some fancy office in D.C., and their job is to nominate ambassadors. So Sam, or one of my other students, will be texting me underneath the table, and is going to, you know, ask, Tina, do you still want to become ambassador to Albania? And I'm going to say, yes, of course. And then they will follow it up with, fantastic. It would be my great honor to nominate you. I really do believe it will happen, because people give opportunities to those they know, to those they like, to those they trust, and to those who tell the world exactly what they want. So I'll leave all of you with this. I know all of you have opportunities you want to access to reach your goals and purposes. So then the question is, how can you be the one people remember? And if any of you want my thoughts on that topic, I would love another invitation to a TED Talk. Thank you.
Lipurane yelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni mando tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite opoewe ekukulina. Oshaka pana mengeshe faidu nehola ha?
My power is I have a super cute dog. On hikes, people I barely know, they'll call out, oh, that's Luke, and they'll stride right up to him. On Facebook, people will ask, oh, how's Luke doing? But I don't do Facebook. It's my friend who posts pictures of him. But by now, I know my role, and I'm Luke's handler. And my job is to escort him places so he can greet his public. But I became a handler of something else long before I became a handler of Luke. And that's a handler of worries, uncertainties, and doubts, of risks. So tonight, with Luke as our trusty companion, I want to talk about what it means to be a risk handler and to face your worries and the things you can't control. And this became important to me many, many years ago when my world went from routine to chaotic. And it was also a time when I had a dog that looked just like Luke. See, when I was 14, my father died suddenly, and my world crumbled. One day, I'm a regular teenager hanging out at the mall and living in a nice house with mom, dad, and dog. But the next, I'm working at that mall and living in a small, no pets allowed condo with my mom dating the guy next door who also happened to like teenage girls. Throughout high school, I was also on my own, and I would worry about things. But I got by because I instinctively came up with tricks.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. We also stock CCTV Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura, next to Bank Bentuk. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-3191-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 30th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We courier countrywide. Call us now.
To cope. Like riding my bike everywhere, even in the snow and the ice, just to be free of the worry of how to get around. So these tricks, they got me through those rough years in high school, and they got me through college, and then they helped me land my first big job at Bell Labs. And it was here, early in my career, where they sent me to a course, and I learned something amazing. Those tricks had a name. Risk management. It turns out, I was a risk handler, and I didn't even know it. Even better, risk management, it's part of a larger field called project management, which is all about how to get things done. So naturally, I learned everything I could in these areas, and over 35 years as a technology professional, used them to deliver over 100 projects. But what I liked most about these techniques was I could use them everywhere. At home, I used them to organize family life. When I volunteered, I used them. But I had to do it undercover. Because if I mentioned project management or risk management, people would just shake their heads no. And I didn't really realize how few knew about these areas until my daughter landed her first big job at a nonprofit, and they didn't use these practices. So we did some digging and realized that this is actually the norm. As recently as 2024, more than 80% of small to medium businesses have significant skill gaps in project management. And this was a study done by the Association for Project Managers. But something happened back then. My daughter and I, we had grown really frustrated at seeing what we thought were unnecessary worries and obstacles thwart our friends and family's ambitions. Project management and risk management aren't just for big business. They're for anyone wanting to do anything. And just like that, we decided we would try to do something about it. So we took 8 specific techniques that we use over and over, and then we shrunk them down into bite-sized hacks that you can actually use without getting a headache. And since then, we've been teaching people about these hacks. And there's one hack in particular we use more than the others. And this is the hack from risk management. We call it reframe worries as risks because it helps you step into that role of a risk handler so you can face your worries and those things that you can't control. So, let's see this hack in action. With an example of hosting a party, becoming overwhelmed with other things in life. And maybe this has happened to you. You've offered to do something, and as a date approaches, an unexpected obstacle emerges that you worry you can't overcome. This happened to my sister back in December. She had undergone major surgery in November, and now Christmas was 2 weeks away. And she's still feeling exhausted. And she's the one who hosts the big Christmas dinner. And now she's worried she's not going to be able to pull it off. So I broached the idea of using the reframe worries as a risk hack and stepped into the role of a risk handler. And I started with the first step, which is to state the worry. So this way it can be surface and you can start to examine it. Well, my sister, I mean, her worry was, you know, being too weak to cook, clean, and serve dinner. The second step, it's to assess how likely this worry, which is now a risk, is to happen or not. My sister, well, she thought it was going to be pretty likely she was going to be too weak because it was taking her so long to recover. The third step, it's to visualize the impact so you can understand what happens if the risk comes true. So my sister, she visualized the kitchen's a mess, the guests are hungry, Christmas is becoming a disaster. Now, the fourth step is a bit unexpected. And it's to ask, so what? But this is not dismissive if asked with compassion. Instead, it helps bring the full context of your life back into play so you can look at the risk in that context. And you can understand how bad the impact is or isn't. So, let's talk about now how likelihood and impact, how they come together to suggest whether action is needed or not. So, if a risk's impact doesn't feel too bad or the likelihood seems low, well, it might be a Luke-sized risk, and you can let it go and let nature take its course. But if the impact feels pretty bad and the likelihood seems pretty high, well, this might be a Brutus-sized risk. And action's important, so you don't get stuck in place and drain all your worry, all your energy, worrying about it. Fortunately, risk management has ways to deal with these Brutus-sized risks. And I want to explain them by going back to Christmas dinner. So for my sister, she wanted to take action because it was important to her to have a good Christmas. So we spent a few minutes coming up with preventions, ways to reduce the likelihood that this risk occurs. So I came up with suggestions like, oh, do takeout, or, oh, I'll fly out and help. I asked, why not have her boys, and they're in their 30s, take over more of the duties. And she had thought about that, but hesitated because she didn't want to worry them about how tired she was still feeling. But she decided now's the time to ask. There was one other way I wanted to subdue this risk, and that was to have a fallback plan. So what if, with the boys helping, she still gets tired? And what does she do then? So my sister's fallback plan, the first step was to tell the guests in advance that, hey, I might need to pause and take a break, but don't worry, everything's fine, the boys will see to things, and I'll be rejoining the festivities shortly. This way, on Christmas, when she feels tired and exhausted, she's not anxious or doesn't feel guilty that she has to leave the guests. All right, so for Christmas, the boys, they helped cook and clean. My sister, she did take a rest. Yes, the tradition changed, but everybody left fed and they had a good time. So what this experience shows is when you reframe a worry as a risk, you're ensuring it's taken seriously, because all worries are valid. It gives you a structure so you can examine it, and a way to explore, and a space so you can explore preventions and fallback plans, because as we go through life, worries, uncertainties, and doubts, they're going to creep in. Whether you're looking to launch a new career or just get through the day. And when that happens, think like a risk handler. State the worry. Assess its likelihood. Visualize its impact. And ask, so what? And if it looms large, plan a prevention so you can reduce its likelihood and have a fallback so you're ready in case it does. And this is what being a handler is all about. Dealing with unpredictability. Whether it's from a rambunctious dog or life's curveballs. So, the next time a worry, uncertainty, or a doubt creeps in, pause. Reframe. Step into the role of a risk handler and break through. Thank you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Purane ngelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni mando tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe otete opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito da njuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doilinawa. Nuneudo, otukwetera o special angeta shake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa, nokumona oijamweli nawa. Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatuimwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ileko mberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, omafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Alrighty, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Pulling Heartstrings, and we are almost now talking about life circumstances and life events that do have a way of changing us, and in one way or another, we are like many of the speakers that spoke tonight.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 17th of the... Shashino, uchanga onya mandi we giri da? You're not eating that. Eh? Mm-hmm. You're not eating that. Yeah. Hey. Wahupagere momu mea wanu non taku he wanino kate kate naka karakaenya shinyene shashpego tapwe hama. Eh, you have to lose weight. Osho shinaku kara because wakara pe hama koshimashi ashild. Yeah. So I don't think you should be too worried about that. Because Shara Egora Aruka Gotot Manara kudengi e food plate I wenge she wuhod. Yeah. Gweto Ari kananga teka runga we getoka hungo mwenyo toka hungo mwenyo. Marangere ego kero. Hey, that one is a matter of healing also most. De tomano, tomane pango. Shashino, apeane, toka karato ti tomane pango, and then oshimata shiningon tsega. De ta shole ke na na unja mama ya iha ihe. De to ninginan tsega kuha kuhe. De toka te tonja mama. De tamoturi tenta. De tokara de takukara kwa makwa manga for 1 year. Yeah. Shasho toka monana ntonti kame masipa. Wenja mama. Taka karani ya pumbuku teta mwenja mama njo. So it can go very, very bad. Ngino mana omiti. It can go very, very bad. Mara noku itonu aro miti shampa wedhinwa. Otonu panlandu. Ya takutua after meals. Otu itengenga mahini kwe nga toli peife, nenge to ningo katete kwe, shasho konga takenderele, shasha kukirira na mepunta ndishi. Gweto ningi, gweto noper. Gweto aruka, po. Wale hama ne anu. Wale hama, shiri. Nderimona, my brother, my younger brother, kaliri oma hodhinu maninone. Ish, the petohenda man. Kwati, kweha meyogo shafato varokan and that whoa, nashfathan. Yeah. But yeah, anam boyo njo nonkero? Larapo nawa?
Hongera jude wa adikape no?
Yadengerara. But this is Eagle FM, and you're talking to the matriarch, and this is a different show.
Antoine and the poor and the for a cool in man. And how a convenient man. Hey, what's the problem?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. So, ladies and gentlemen, hello, hello, hello. The number in studio is 083-288-4001. I hope you guys heard the whole story that I was saying last night. Thanks. There are people that are patiently waiting for after the food. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Story Night. And today I'm going to be giving you guys a story, not unless you would like to come through. We are doing our final runs, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing our final runs and we are running as the year is coming to an end. We are also reaching our breaking point as humans, as we are all just, we are fighting K-December spirit. We are fighting K-December spirit. Hey, we are fighting it. We are fighting not to be tired. We are fighting not to be mwamwalaring. We are fighting to still be caring towards the bigger goal. We are fighting, guys. I see myself in this battle, man. Every time I have to get up in the morning. Now, I have this a little alarm. Her name is Michaela. I have this little alarm that wakes me up at 6:30, like a person that goes to school. Every time I go to her bed and I watch her standing there like she wants to climb out, right? I tell her that I hope that you itoka tindira momposi. You know, when you are older, it's in Boloko, Yako, Skori, Toka, Tindira, Momposingue, Mikael, Open, Duka, Kuyerenge, Kunampa, Toy. Eh, I hope so. Because this is the, because 6:30, guys. But anyways, so every day I'm dragging my feet out of bed, especially these last days, and it's year end fatigue, and it's also just being done. When you have written the last page and you are closing the book, it's like that one. We are like, ooh, guys, we tried. We have been here since January and we have tried. Good job, guys. Sharp, sharp. Sharp, sharp. Let's shake hands. Ta-ta. Sharp. Bye. Like, it is really that time of the year where everybody's like, you know what? On my mind right now, it's just Ombora, Omafuma, Otha. Those are the things that are on my mind. Like, if I could put pen to paper right now, the things that I would be writing about there is just Nakantumba Metawa. Like, oh, guys, I'm so done for the year. Like, the year must just, like, now it's just sweep me with it. Like, sweep me with it at this point because I unyonyoro apako, and it's just like, yes, guys. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am at that one, and I realize that maybe many of us are also just here. Many of us are just waiting, you know? We're all just waiting for the time where it's like, okay, have a nice holiday. Okay, bye guys, have a good holiday. And then we go, we rejuvenate, we recuperate, we go and revive our souls and our hearts and our minds and our bodies, our spirits. We go and get the love that we so long for from our elders or whoever is out there giving the love out that is not a partner. Eh? Somebody that has that superior love, that somebody that has that ancient love, somebody that has that matriarch kind of love, that patriarch kind of love, that great grandmother kind of love, you know, somebody that is like, maziko koshimba. O shili inamwetilanju tu uuni mambu yao kutula nando po ongolo shili ongolo ya jeji nonge omachuta ningileje valo lanju nake omushishi nga kuchandi valo mujotango ya anua dalo kandishishi nengele heli vinino kwa tile ojotango denge
Ungulando ng pelon de dipewa. Ali kana kanon. Yes! That is the only voice I want to hear. Like, hey, I'm out, guys. I'm like, wee. I just want to sit with Cuckoo grandmother and then she can just guara me a little bit and I can just feel like a child. I think that the one thing that I am missing, you know, there was this movie called, or there is this movie called For Colored Girls. And there was a piece of poetry that was spat in that movie that I'll never forget, ne? And it was something promised, something laying on the hands, you know, like, somebody almost walked off with all of my things. And I feel like I'm there. I feel like I'm at that point where it's not that I'm unhappy with being an adult. It's not that I'm unhappy with carrying the burdens on my shoulders or the responsibilities that I have as an employee, or an employer or a matriarch or a mother, daughter, sister, a wife and all of this. It's not that I don't like that. I just need a place where I don't have to be that because I'm that from January all the way to December. I just want a little piece of the December where I can just be okana komegumbo. And that is what I long for. I long for somebody going to get me things. Like, I know, you know, I think that you have to be in the situation for you to understand the situation. It's not that I can't send people. It's not that I don't have people to send. I just miss that thing of you come into the house and the other people are sent. Kuchindeni muka kwa terenku nyonjuka. Yes! Because then in your house, you are the one that is telling people like that. And then you are the one, tokasu onjukwa, and no, guys. So I just want to go home and I just want to be special. I just want to wake up and it's not somebody, mommy. I know that the mommy people will still be there. I understand they'll still be there, but they'll be with other people. Other people that they will be fascinated by. So fascinated by that maybe for split seconds, they will also forget that I exist. Especially holiday. I think holiday is also just driving me crazy because I'm with my kids. And they are knocking so much. And I even ask questions like, when I'm not here, like, why? I just came to check on you, Vakwetu, my golden boy. Like, mommy. No, guys. So, I just want to go to a place where I feel like I'm important as a person from the house. But now, kuyakaetu. Ondahara kuyake gumbwa kwetu. Like, I want to go to Kayetu and go and sit there and fudiriara like ikunin and kachaya. Just those things that don't require a lot of brain power. Because here there's so much brain power that is required. If you don't have brain power, you end up saying wrong things on radio. You end up misappropriating funds. You end up dying on the road because you're not concentrating. There's just so much brain activity here in the city, and I feel like I need that breath of fresh air. Like, that's where I'm at personally. For me, that's where I'm at. So I'm out here thinking that you guys are most probably also in the same situation, or some of you guys are already gone home. You guys are just laying there under the mattress, where the radio is kokiti, and then you made an antenna under the moonlight, and you're listening to me, what then go for, open wajura, and all vibes, and I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous of your life, right? right now. I'm so jealous. Like, oh, I'm so jealous. You know, you know, those kind of vibes. Yeah. Like, those are just the things that I miss, you know. You know, I just want to hear those things. I'm not going to sit and hear about, you know, I just want prayer vibes, you know, rungunukwa vibes, rumberanje vibes. I just want to come back with bigger stories. So that is where I'm at. And I feel like it's not just end year fatigue. It is really honestly just where I'm at. I can't go outside of the bubble. It's like I'm in a corner and I'm just on the wunda neiman. Kujana, guys. It's like, it's time. It's time to recuperate. It's time to regenerate. It's time for you guys to go to your houses, guys. And for those that don't have houses, my dear, it's a, the house where you are, make it now your houses so that you are so extremely comfortable there and you can do everything that you need to do in order for you to feel fulfilled. Now, there's nothing worse than being in an environment where you can't feel that home feeling. Ah. So try and make it that home feeling. If it's pictures, put up pictures. If it's a little ka smell, put up a little ka smell. If it's a little ka something, put it up, you know. Give yourself that Christmas vibe. They used to say that, Christmas used to be the shizuliki when we were younger, because it was so vibrant and we were all just together. But I realized that adulthood is lonely, and that is why people say that you should make a family. You make a family in order for you to be less lonely, but you are going to be lonely, but just less lonely when you have a family. And I finally get it, because when you look at your cousins that you grew up with and you look at your brothers and sisters that you grew up with, you guys were always together. Even if you guys were not together during the day, at home you guys were together. Now all of a sudden everybody has their homes, everybody has their family, and everybody has branched out, and we are happy that everybody has branched out, but it doesn't take away from the fact that there is a little less unity amongst us. There's a little less love. We see each other now and then, and basically that's it. Apart from other families, you know, other families, they call each other every day, but some of us are not fortunate like that to have family members that we call each other every other day, except Kukukherivi. Kukukherivi is calling, guys. Kukukherivi is calling Uchankero, Otoyunake, Omarovu Hija. I'm like, yes, Onjupa, Yuda, yes. Nohutandidi, Nemoka Harasa, Noho, and Nohutandidi, Noho, Moshiaha, Dandidi, Momo, Meriro, Yes. And I also just want to be deep in Ndonga, where the people, they also speak like me, so that I can just retouch my Oshindonga, because I'm just out here, eh? I'm just out here talking to you guys in Garahura, Garahura language here, and then I'm just missing the point. What's on? Hello?
Oh,
Ndonga, 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 man.
Oh, Yeme kwa mwalo kapopona best friend deno mem ota uenja nai.
Oh, osho ne, kucha every day I'm getting a phone call. Enkero, oh, wati ne, weta kwa eka zona hono, on tibu ikwela, no mati, ota muhiha muhe, on tibu tegerera, nda mulongi kive, my dear. Ndiwe tamas kutaka fiki.
No, Pumbo never in my Ota, I am a Pumbo.
I should know.
How are you, Mamima?
I'm fine, Tate Buana. How are you doing?
No, we came good. Things are fine.
Ne? Where
how
are you?
I'm around.
In Windhoek?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, you know, Mamima, you know I've been in the mountain.
Oh, so you went to the mountains and now you just came to enjoy electricity.
Just a little bit kind of small thing.
Eh, no ka echo
na. Of course,
of course.
Oh, ya
chambo.
This one is more polluted.
Eh, me.
That fresh one.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Mafuma meme.
Hey, yeah. Oh, mafuma mawa. Oh my God, I said, what? Since I came from all those ways, I say I was not going to eat this thing.
Eh.
My friend, it was prepared, and I say, make another one.
I'm being a nail on that.
So delicious, so delicious.
So,
how has it been, Mommy?
No, I've been okay. I think many of us are also just at that point of we finished the year. Yeah. Like right now, we are just fighting December spirits. Every day you are just fighting December spirits. More impossible, no?
Kalunga kangi.
Shiri.
It's good when people go there and they, you know, gather together, have that kind of fellowship, and enjoy themselves.
Mm. What do you enjoy most about going home?
Sa pokulonga get that. Sa pokulonga.
It's your favorite.
My favorite. When I go there, I think of you. Now that my old people are not there, I should also go and help.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to mend some fence and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been here even this time around if they were there.
Yeah, you would have gone already.
You have gone already, done a lot of issues, a lot of fencing, a lot of, you know,
file
mending and things like that.
Yeah.
But this time around, I give more attention to my place.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
To work on your place.
But anyway, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have to fellowship together.
Yes.
Enjoy together. You know, there are also weddings, you know. You are in a different mood, you know. The people
who
have not seen them for a long time.
Oh.
When you are there now, people are, you know, interacting and
yeah.
This one is saying, this one is saying, this one. It is like a kind of, it's a different mood.
Oh, right, yeah. When we are sitting there at Undingosho,
mm-hmm.
Then the ladies that are having their kids that are in grade 11 and 12 mm-hmm. and in university, they bring their kids. Uze u unkwe tunguno nayo o haiko skola ileni mutakume nae. To make you happy, meme, how are you? I'm fine, auntie. How are you? Oh, I'm like,
you are reminding me of something for many, many years. No? Before we knew how to speak English.
Yes.
We were just big. And then all of a sudden, there is this young, small one. Mm-hmm. From Katenangoro Mbuba's house. Me, I'm here. I don't even know how to speak English.
Like me there at my village. I tell you, me there at my village, I'm Oshima Shakula.
Hey.
What's that? I'm ame Beyonce kwa kuna kuleka mwana wange.
That word. How do you really pronounce it?
It's H-O-Z-A. Waza? Like, waza, waza la.
Waza, waza la.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a yam and a shaminga, Sophia shaminga.
And then she said waza with a W. Mona, I get a whole mix
there. It energizes somebody. Mm-mm. When it mentions like you are also energized.
My idea. I'm sure she stole it from me also.
Let's see how the number we can only give us.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's Christmas and what. I don't want to go into that.
Mm-hmm.
But all I'm saying is that the mood also does change.
Yeah.
And people, like you say, sometimes you go to Ndingosho there, you socialize, interact, you see different kind of, environment again.
Yeah.
So let's hope everything you say is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like this time around, you know? Oh. Mm-hmm. Moroka duraga lokako duraya lokako ni kombo pesa ngao ta ta
zeman. Ehe. Tega ya tuke mulili kombo ni.
Va. Eh, no,
no,
I was riding in the crowd for almost a month. And then the teacher spotted me. You? Where are you from?
Namibia.
Namibia? Where is Namibia? Is it
next to Morocco?
Namibia was not known, my friend. The people think that it was a state or a city in South Africa.
But at the time, it's okay for such assumptions to come up because we were very tightly linked.
Yeah, I think so.
At least they had an idea.
They have an idea. Were.
Yeah, but Ngunotati Namibia is next to Morocco. Eh?
All right,
Tatebwana, thank you so much.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm ranting about wanting to go home, and I'm asking the ultimate question for tonight is what are your enjoyment plugs when you go home? What do you miss most when you're not there and you really enjoy, especially now in your senior ages, right? When you are a bit older than you used to be, what do you enjoy right now? I get to enjoy the chair. Shipunts. Hey, the chair. I get to enjoy the chair because now I'm a big person. So now I also sit on the chair like all the other big people, and I like that, man. And I'm not part of the squad that is quartering on Juhua anymore. So now I'm part of the squad that is being quartered on Juhua 4. On Juhua is chicken, bruh. Yeah, so me, I'm sitting there idle while people are going to run and catch the chicken for me. But that also, when you go home, that newness doesn't last. Especially if you are the first one amongst the outsiders, amongst the goers that comes back. It only lasts for the first day or two at most. After that, you are just you are part of the cooking crew. And especially if your cousins or your other relatives find you there, then you have to be part of the people that go and quarter on Juhua. Or you might be the one that is quartering the Juhua yourself because you initially are not new anymore.
But for me right now, the one thing that I do miss is the people. I miss the grannies. I miss the grandpas. I miss my uncle Kukushuti. I miss home. I just have this longing for home. Like, I miss home, guys. It's like, kunakureka, ne? I miss Nakureka very, very much. I feel like I'll even just end up crying when I get home. My goodness. No, yeah, and then my aunt will be like, it's not shunako and kero. That's how not shunako if we are enjoying the money that comes from Ushimba. We're not working for rocks, Moss. Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to come in and come and give me your 2 cents, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. In case you would like to buzz me up, in case you would like to come through and laugh as we proceed with our night, that is the number in studio. If you would like to send us an SMS, our SMS line is 1040 and it will cost you $1.50. And please don't forget.
Get top scores. Yes, marathon savings at USave. Pay just $299 Namibian dollars for 5 kilogram nice parboiled rice, 5 kilogram champion super maize meal, 5 kilogram marathon white or brown sugar, and 5 kilograms of Bokomo fed cooked flour. That's right, no mistake, just $299 Namibian dollars for 4 5 kilogram bags of essential products. Where you ask? At USave. Yes, we all save at USave.
Are you ready to shape your future and make a difference through education? At Sunshine Private College, we are committed to providing exceptional tertiary education that's flexible, accessible, and tailored to your goals. We say education first. Our programs are accredited by the Namibia Qualifications Authority, NQA, and registered with the Namibia Council for Higher Education, NCHE. Enrollment for August 2025 is now open. Choose from Postgraduate Diploma in Education, Secondary, 1 year Level 8, Bachelor of Education Honours in Junior Primary, 4 years Level 8, Bachelor of Education Honours in Senior Primary, 4 years Level 8, Diploma in Early Childhood Development and Junior Primary Education, 3 years Level 6. Study full-time or via distance learning block release. You choose what works for you. Call us today at 061-221805 or 081-288-5258 for more details. Sunshine Private College, not just about teaching, it's about inspiring your future.
And it will cost you $1.50. And please don't forget to download the Eagle FM app, because if you are listening from a radio, and that means the radio stays at home, right? And you can't listen to us during the day or when you go somewhere that is not home. So I would advise most now here that you get it on the app. So here they are messages. Good evening, Queen Mom. Hey, good evening, Queen Mom. I don't know what happened, but the radio went mute. Yalo from Bragwater. Hey, yalo from Bragwater. Oh, it was just a day. So that is what happened. So you guys didn't hear the story. You guys want me to continue the story? I only continue the story if somebody comes in and tells me that they want me to continue the story, because I told you guys that those are personal stories most I share with you guys. Yeah, so if you guys want me to share my personal life with you guys must call in and tell me, which I, hey, Queen Mother, please. Queen Mother, please tell us the rest of the story, because I even read there Komarungura that somebody was like, yeah, hey, the radio went off when she was talking about she was waiting for food. What is that? You wanted to know what type of food we were eating? Or who's that? All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick breather before we start with story time.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito tanjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doinawa nune uto otukwetera o special ngetashake ngejepa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatimwe bali hea hi nola natu heari bali no heari ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM VI.
Alrighty, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. So today is the 17th of the 12th month, 2024. It is Moss Tuesday. So ladies and gentlemen, okay, so there was, once upon a time, there was this gentleman, right? His name is Johnny. So Johnny himself, he used to like mafia movies. He used to like mafia movies. He used to like everything that is about the Italians. You understand? So Don Corleone, and that's all he knew. Again, Sicily, that's all he knew. And basically it was just Godfather that inspired him about Italy, and that's it. All he knew about Italy was the bags and the bags. That's it. The bags and the mafias. Mm-hmm. So Johnny himself, he was one of those children that grew up in a village that was, it was a growing village. Now, if you know what a village is, you know that the houses, five houses in front of you were not there when you were in the village. You know that your village has also expanded. In as much as we want to pretend like our villages have not developed, I know that from growing up at my village, Kunakureka, we only had undingosho wuri uhitatu. Mm-hmm. And now we have about 30 to 40 undingosho, or even 50. Undingosho, and we have electricity. Yeah, electricity. Water didn't come there yet because I don't think it's a need apparently, because we also don't have sanitation because we have the bush. Duh. Yeah. So Johnny grew up in a village, and he grew up with his mother. Now their house was called Okambo. Okambo is most now a house without a man. And Johnny lived there with his mother, and ever since he was growing up, he was held in. He was more of those ones of, where are you going? And don't go that side. Stay with your mother. They do everything together. They go and chaya together. They look after the kettle together. They did everything together. And it was expected because, Johnny was her only child. So he kind of understood the pressures that came with being your mother's only child and also being her only friend, because his mother never went anywhere. Nobody ever came to their house. It was more of just them. It was really honestly just them. And she built the house quite well. She okwavika. So she built the house with sticks, and it was built, it was built very, very nicely for I know that this is sexist, but for a woman's work, it was immaculate for a woman. Yeah. And as Johnny started to grow, it was time for kindergarten. Now, in the village, there's this thing called the under the tree kindergarten, where the neighbor kids and all the kids, they go to that kindergarten. And that teacher that teaches literacy is the one that teaches also kindergarten for the kids. So there was a kindergarten there, but Johnny's classes were not with the other kids. And he always used to wonder why, because the kids would knock off like at 12 o'clock and then they go to their houses. And then his mother would get him ready for kinder around 12:30. Then he would go and sit there in the kinder. The kinder was like, and then they were put zincs on top of it, and it was like a little classroom, but he was alone in the classroom. So his mother would walk him to class, and then the teacher would teach him, but he would be alone in class. And he enjoyed this because he was like, oh, teacher Maria,
Yeah, Teacher Maria, because it was basically the only second person that he ever got close to and in close contact with, because everybody else was most just off limits. So it was Teacher Maria. Teacher Maria used to teach Johnny A, B, B, C, C, 1, 1, two, and he was catching and he was catching the things, my dear. Teacher Maria was very proud. And when payments were done, Johnny's mother would have to put the money on the floor, would have to put the money on the floor in an envelope. And first of all, Johnny didn't know that this was payment. So he just used to see an envelope that Johnny's mother, his mom would put on the floor. And later on, Teacher Maria would pick up this envelope later on. So he didn't see anything of it because he's very happy. He's in class. He's with Teacher Maria. They are enjoying and all of that. Okay. So his mom used to work. And by work, I mean, how long? You know, she used to work. So she was one of those aunties that watungwa omariro, and she used to weave baskets and also taningi ombike or shike onchengo, like traditional stuff, and she would sell them. But also she wouldn't go to the cooker shops to go and sell them herself. She would give to Teacher Maria. Imagine, Teacher Maria was a big deal in their house. So she would give the stuff to Teacher Maria, and then Teacher Maria would come back and put it in an envelope, put it on the floor, and then Johnny's mother would pick it up, and then she would count in front of Johnny Moss. And then Johnny would know that, oh, in the envelope there's money, but they are passing each other envelopes of money, but they don't really talk about anything. Okay, but she was making guap. She was making real money. She was making dough because she was hella talented. Hella talented. When I say hella talented, ne, I mean somebody te kutungine on tungwa with butterflies. Woo! That is like hella. Like, if you, like, yes. We are like, yes, queen. Yes. That is exactly it. Like, whoa. She's tungwaring on tungwa with butterflies and horses, and everybody loved her work. And I think, teacher Maria used to go and pass it on as her own work. And even her jengo would be bought. Even her ombike would be bought. And her things didn't last. It was just as soon as teacher Maria puts the things down, they're already gone. And the next day, Teacher Maria already has, you know, the auntie's money. Okay, cool. So, Johnny was learning. The year goes by. So he spent 2 years in kindergarten. So he was there at 4, and then he was there at 5, and then at 6. He was supposed to stay there for 3 years because school starts with 7. But at 6, Johnny had finished the whole curriculum of kinder. Any curriculum of kinder, and he already had started learning grade 1 stuff when he was 5. So by the time he was 6, Oshiri Teacher Maria had nothing else to teach him. So Teacher Maria decided that, you know what, near the nearest primary school, she's going to get an application form and talk to the principal so that Johnny can just go to grade 1. And she made it a point that she went herself, and then she said, no, I have my nephew, and he's very sharp. I can bring you his report. You can even test him. I know he's young, but he can really fit in with grade 1. I have been teaching him grade 1 things. These are his books and all of that. Then the principal went through the books, and the boy is sharp. It was A++. Plus, 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 plus. That kind of A++. That kind of life. So that was Johnny's life. And then it was time now for him to go to school. So when it was time for him to go to school, his mother got him ready in the morning. And he was excited, and he had his little bag and all his things. It seems like all his things came from Teacher Maria, because new clothes Teacher Maria would buy and then bring them. But there was no touching. There was no touching, and there was no interaction. So it was just, I don't know, Teacher Maria just loved Johnny so much. And so they would walk with his mom, you know, there at 6:30 in the morning, they would walk with his mom until a certain point. And from this point, then Teacher Maria would take Johnny to school. Johnny didn't care about what these two women were doing. All he cared about was like, whoa, we're going to big school, bruh. We're going to big school. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. And we are going to learn. And wow. So on his first day, so he was walking with Teacher Maria. And then he was asking, what do you pay, Nyan? And he is asking the teacher now, like, where are we going? And the teacher's like, no, you're going to school. And then he's like, I have kids at the school. And the teacher Maria is like, many kids, big and small, tall and short, light and dark, friendly and sad, happy and angry, many emotions. It's like a rainbow with many colors. And then he said, just like David's coat. Is it David or Daniel? The coat of many colors. Okay, let's go with David, okay? We don't know the Bible stories that deep. So let's go with Daniel. Yes. So like the coat of Daniel. Yes. The coat of many colors. Like the coat of Daniel. It's just the way that people are. Yeah, the kids are all just gonna be different, but you're gonna fit in just fine. It's gonna be lovely. And he is so happy. And he's skipping, 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 tatundoka, you know, skipping, 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 skipping. And he was a very neat boy. His mother taught him cleanliness is next to godliness. And he was clean. So when he got to the gate, he said, Teacher Maria, tegere anjemanga and pushuronga kudanj. Like, Teacher Maria, please wait for me while I polish my shoes. Because he didn't want to go to class for the first day with dirty shoes from the walk. And then he went in and he was taken to class. And the teacher that was there was Miss Teacher Juliet. So Teacher Juliet was his grade one teacher, and Teacher Maria took him there, and then Teacher Maria said, oh, this is my son, Johnny, and this is Teacher, and she handed him over. She handed him over and told him that you must wait for me at Ponye. There's a what do you call it, Vambu Besi tree that is close to the school. And he was given an instruction to wait for her. When the school comes out, he must wait for her under that tree. And when he waits for her under that tree, she will come. So he went to school and he didn't cry. He was such a lovely boy. Unlike our kids, like they didn't prepare that, like we didn't know that we are going to school. Now we have people that are biting us and beating us because they don't want to go to school, bundle of joy. But the whole time when we were buying stationery, you knew we were going to school. But anyways, yeah, we're not about that today. So let's not judge them, Anwa. But Johnny was immaculate. His behavior was immaculate. He sat down and he sat in front and he was astonished. In all honesty, I believe that the teacher Maria should have stayed a little bit, because what if the child had had a attack? This child has never seen other children, other people at all. He's just seen Teacher Maria and his mother. That's it. Even when he sees people, they are always from far because his mother is shielding most now. So there he is in a classroom with people that are his age, and it's colors and it's chairs and it's boards and it is talking and it is screaming and yelling and it is so much, it's so much like excitement, right? And he wanted to participate. Like literally he stood up and he wanted to participate because it was so nice. Nandiso. It was so nice. Utowi. he wanted to participate, and I think he wanted to have a conversation with a child that was sitting next to him. And then when he just started talking like this, Johnny fainted on his first day of school. Like literally heart attack type of vibes. Yeah, a 6-year-old, literally heart attack type of vibes, right? But it was just the excitement. It was really honestly just the excitement. It was one of the... Oh, Johnny. And there he was, and he fainted for a couple of seconds. And then when he woke up, it was teacher Juliet that was giving him water, you know, spraying his face with water. And he's like, teacher Juliet, wow.
O number B Namibia transporter ota ishivire customer dayo dipena didikuru kucha ota itugire no kwenjo mayakuru ya kutransporte customer kuja moveduka ondangwa oshakati na utapi omahara kurondekera moveduka posoweto market akombere wa konora mano imwe barine bari heali nora no hetatu tiopolina konora hetatu imwe natu natu omafela vali nano no natu musese konora hetatu imwe nano nano ne nano ne nano no imwe ondangwa tapurondekera poka pana service Egera Anna Konora Tatu Imwe, Neimwe, Natu Imwe Hamano Nane, Nengeko 0811-586975. Onda Do, Ovenduka Fioshakati, Mafera Varinumi Godri, Oi, Ovenduka Otapio Kahao Sandi, Mafera Tatu Numino Godri, Natu, Enda Do, Dinongushufio Molongona Tatuya January 2024. Enda Dwedi, Inadiqua Teramo, Endongirwa, Okuja, Movenduka.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Ipura nengelo wapungwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendi kenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onora itatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch. So, Johnny fainted.
Good evening.
Oh, sorry, ma'am. Good evening once more again. I thought you have knocked off. Oh.
No, I'm still here.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is that I did not hear. But before that, me, I just remember the name that I was trying to, we were trying to mention there.
Mm.
So this time around of the rain season, and if it rains, and then the goats and the lakombos and everything actually.
Yeah.
And the ombidi also. So, you know, Hashifa na Oshke, you can be a look at Hula Hula.
Oh, Kahula
Hula. I hope I did not forget the name again.
I think you forgot it.
Ah, oh, she was a look Hula Hula.
Okay.
Kahula Hula, I think so.
I don't know, but okay.
So now, listen.
Mm hmm.
I've listened and...
we are still talking. The story is not finished.
Oh, so what time are you not finished?
You, 12 o'clock.
This one is 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a few minutes past 11 now.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me listen and I'll come back.
No problem.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Ciao, ciao.
So, our boy fainted, Johnny. Johnny fainted out of pure excitement. Now imagine how much excitement your child must be feeling to come to a point where he just faints. So when he was coming to, he remembered Teacher Julia, and Teacher Julia was there with a glass of water, and she was asking, "Are you okay, my boy? You know?" And he's like, "Oh no, nah." And it was a lovely sight to see. So he said this like three times. Oh, nona. Oh, nona. Oh, nona. Like children. Like the children. So ever since then, he had been dubbed the nickname Unona. So he was Unona. Ever since then, he was just called Unona by Teacher Julia, by the students, by the principal. He was the first person that ever fainted at their whole entire school, and he looked so happy. It was like a peaceful faint, if we can say it was that. It was a peaceful faint. It was literally just Unona. So now they just call him Unona, you know? So, that was his first day of school. So the day continued, and at break time again, Teacher Julia now noticed that he's maybe not familiar with children because he doesn't really know how to have conversations. He gets overly excited. And at first she was a little bit worried because after that he went to faint at least three times again in the one day again because, oh, nona. It's like, oh, nona. And every time he fainted, when he came to, it was, oh, nona. Like, oh, the children, there's so many children. I like this place, please. Wow, children. So in the world,
little people that are like me. There are people that are small like me in my life. There are small chairs for small people, small desks for small people. They're small. Wow. You know, he was so astonished. He was so surprised. He was so perplexed. He was bedazzled. He was dazzled. He was just in awe of everything. And that it's a beautiful sight to see, because nobody actually gets surprised by anything anymore, and not in a pleasant way anyways. So he was just unwana. And at break time, he went outside, or he stood outside at the door and watched the other kids play. And he was just having the time of his life. And Teacher Julia was a bit worried, because she thought that maybe he has a heart condition, and that he's maybe an ailment or something, because he was just fainting abnormally. And then later on in the day, they had RME, and they were talking Bible stories. And that one of Washangira Monone, the Bible stories, he knows them nice, because they, by his mother, is just religion, you know. So it was time to go home. And like the good boy he is, he went to sit under the tree, and the other kids also gravitated towards him, because they don't usually sit under that tree, but they gravitated towards him, and they came to make friends with him. And at the end of the day, when Teacher Maria came to pick him up, he was there with four other kids that were also waiting to get picked up or fetched from school. And he made friends, and he couldn't wait to tell Teacher Maria all about it. And Teacher Maria is one of those vibrant teachers, those educare kind of teachers, those teachers that really, when your child is leaving the kindergarten, you are crying, because can't we just take you with to grade one, please? Can't we just take you with those kinds of teachers? And it takes a lot to be that kind of teacher, but she was that teacher. Oh, and he's talking, and then she put him koshushu on her shoulders, and he's talking about his day, and he's talking, and then they reach now the drop off where Teacher Maria now waits for his mom to come and get him for the rest of the way. And when he saw his mom sitting there and waiting, she looked so anxious. She was so anxious. You could tell by the sweat that she was feeling, and the biting of the nails, and the tapping of the foot, and it was just a mess. In all honesty, it was just a mess. That was like severe anxiety at its best. And when she saw him and the smile he had on his face, her whole entire heart just melted. And she ran to her child and she hugged her son, and it was like, hey, oh. And the boy, Johnny is talking, you know, that talking that we are all excited for, especially after the first day. That one that becomes a thing later, that we are like, now you just want to run away from the child, because the child has been talking 3 hours straight, you know, matriarch style. But he's talking, and she ran to her son, and she hugged him, and then she's like, are you okay? And then she checked him for bruises and scars. He's like, oh, such a lovely boy. And they had it was pleasant to see. And Teacher Maria was standing there, and she was looking at them embrace each other, and the boy is talking, and the mother is interested, and the mother is crying, and she says, thank you so much. And she was about to go and hug Teacher Maria, and Teacher Maria took a step back, and then she also just pulled back, and it was she said thank you without touching Teacher Maria. And she went back to her son, and then there they walked off. And tomorrow was the same case. And tomorrow it was drop off. And then Teacher Maria takes the boy to school, and he goes and has a normal, ordinary day. At home, he did his homework that he's studying in advance already. We don't know what smart child this is, but okay. And that was Johnny's life. And he was just pleased to be having opportunities. He never questioned anything. He was always just
happy about where he is. He was happy and he was a grateful child. His mother sorted him out. There was nothing at all. Nothing that he lacked. He had the school shoes. And imagine village life, right? We are expecting you to not have some stuff because you guys are in the village, but this boy had everything. There's not a pencil that he didn't have three of. There's not a ruler that he didn't have three of. He had everything, every single book, every single everything. School shoes, everything, uniform, perfectly new, out of the box. This woman went above and beyond for her son, and she would stay up endless nights, tamano mariro, you know, just finishing her basket so that they can get sold, so that she can buy the things, you know, and give her son like a $2 for fat cake and ice at school. And oh, and then it was the first term went and it was time for the report. So the report came back, and when the report was handed over, it was explained now because she can't read. So because Johnny's mom can't read, So Tisha Maria explained what the symbols are. You know, A is for very, very good. A plus is for excellent, exceptional, distinction. And this boy only had those two symbols. It was just A and A plus. And this was the first term, and she's so happy, this auntie. Johnny's mother, very, very happy, very proud. And this is just grade one. Yeah, imagine. Yeah, grade one. Imagine the way she's proud, like this, going above and beyond. And it was holiday time, and they enjoyed their holiday. They spent their time together, and school started again. And then the end of the year came, and this was the process in everything. And funny enough, with the way children are so inquisitive, Johnny was never inquisitive. He was not inquisitive about not meeting other children outside, within his vicinity at home, only meeting them at school. And he was not inquisitive about anything, guys. You know how your children ask, "Hey, mommy, now, how come those children are being picked up by mommy and your daddy? And if me, I only get picked up by you?" It's like, there's no those things. He's being taken halfway things. There are envelopes that are being given. But Johnny is not inquisitive about that. He was inquisitive in class. He was asking questions in class. He's asking, 2 plus 2, why is this like this, and why is that like that, and story time, and then story time. And it was who he was. He never asked about home, and he never asked about the circumstances around Teacher Maria and his mother and envelopes. He never asked, and he never thought about it either. He was really just grateful that he's alive. He's grateful that he's alive. He's grateful that he's here. He's grateful that he's going to school. He's enjoying his life. He likes his friends at school. And that's just about it. And home is home, and home is homing. And he's with his mom, and he's taking care of the livestock with his mom. And that's just his life. So that was grade seven. Grade 7 came along one day, and grade 7 is most now the age where children are starting to see, but he was a little on the smaller side, and he was a little bit on the shorter side, so he was not really growing the way other kids were growing in terms of corporating, you know, like wanting to see girls and all of that. He was just about the academics. He was just about the full experience. And also, keep in mind that he was a year younger than all the other kids. So when the other kids are 13, he's 12. When the other kids are 11, he's 10. So it was just like that. And he was the best performer at the school. He was head boy, and he was everything. He was captain of the soccer team. He was captain of everything. Everything. He was just an A++. So, he was really honestly achieving. And even at his soccer matches, right? His mom would always come and tell him how he played, but he never sees his mom. You know that thing of you are at the stadium and you are playing a game and then you assume somebody's not there. And then when you come back and tell them about the game, then they also tell you something about the game that only a person that was there would know. So that was his mom. His mom was like, yes, even when you pass the ball to number six and then number six kicked it into the three and then your principal had to go and shake it out of the three. And he's like, oh, so you were there. Why didn't you come and say hi? And he's like, and she's like, no, mothers know everything. I wasn't there. Mothers just know everything. So this woman literally never missed any of her son's extramural activity. Nothing. But she just didn't go and present herself to him. And it was one of those, it's one of those things where when you're listening to the story, you would ask, but why? Why not present yourself? I mean, you went to watch your child's game. It's for moral support. So why didn't you? So he was just happy that his mom got to see how excellent of a player he is and how he was dribbling the ball and what and what and what. And it was now time to apply for high schools. And Teacher Maria did the same thing. Teacher Maria went to apply for high school. And the high school was now a little bit far. So it was a hostel. Now with hostel, it's there are out weekends and there are things like that. There are children that live closer and there are children that come from different backgrounds. And it's a bit less controlled than primary school because these ones are teenagers. So he went to a really good school as well. So he went to Taimo Khanjo. He went into the hostel and he was there and he was one of those kids that it's not that he's nerdy or weird. It's just nobody just bothered him like at all. You know how you would be woken up in the middle of the night by the big boys and then they would pour water on you because you are grade 8, Jivor Khasot. This boy, nothing. Nothing like that. Him, he just went through his life just like nothing, nothing. Even if people are beating others or even if whatever is happening, nothing like that ever happened to Johnny. So he just went through life. And when out weekends would come, Teacher Maria would pick him up and drop him off. And then he would go home and his mother would be waiting. His mother would be waiting there at the drop off for him. And then they would go home together. And that was just his life. And then if you know anything about combined schools, it was... Yeah, then you know that it's from grade 8 to grade 10. And then after that, there is most now grade 11 and 12 at a different school. So he had to go to grade 11 and 12 at a different school. And he went. And the different school was also a bit further. But at this point also, Teacher Maria had a car because the literacy was paying well. And she was not only a literacy teacher anymore. She was also a teacher now at that other primary school. So, yeah. But the responsibility of her going to pick him up and looking for a future for him was always on Teacher Maria and the mother in one way or another. And then... it was matric farewell. So matric farewell, he asked his mother, no, can you take me to the matric farewell? And then his mother said, no, I cannot go there. And then he asked, but why? Why can't you actually come to the school? Why don't you come to the school? Like, why do you lurk in dark alleys and corridors? Why don't we ever see people? Now, this is grade 12, end of the year. And this boy literally just snapped out of the fact that he's been living under a rock or isolation all his life. And he's like, yeah, but we are very isolated. Nobody ever comes here. Like, why? And what is happening? And his mother is like, no, one day when you're older, I'll explain to you and I'll let you know. And or for now, just pass and finish your school and just go to the matric farewell alone. Which suit do you want, my son? She got him the suit that he wanted. There was no lack. There was no lack in anything for Johnny. Never.
you know how we can say that about the village? We can say that, yeah, we grew up in harsh conditions. I think that with him, he can't say that because there was nobody else to compete with. Maybe we can say that because we have siblings and a full house and what. But with them, it was only them. And this woman poured her whole entire soul and heart into her son. Every ounce. Eh? She's literally tahonju pants. But her son is wearing the latest jockeys, the latest what. I'm telling you, she poured into her son. She invested into her son with her whole entire heart. It was just Johnny. Johnny, 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 Johnny Wameme. And the matric fail happened and he came back home and he spent the rest of the holiday at home. And it was now time for varsity. So time for varsity came and he was accepted in every single thing that he applied, because Teacher Maria just made sure that there was just chance everywhere. So she applied at every single university you can think of, even far away or near, she applied. And she became his mother, his second mother, in all honesty, because even when he had things to talk about, like life things, you know, like, I just feel like this hair under my armpits is ruining my life. Teacher Maria would be saying, it's puberty. That's what puberty does, you know? So it was a weird situation, but it worked for them. That's why we can say that your normal is not my normal. And my normal is not your normal. And this was Johnny's normal. So, he decided that no, he's going to do engineering. He's going to do engineering. He's going to do his first 2 years there in Ongwediva. Yeah. He's going to do his first 2 years there in Ongwediva just to stay close to home. And then after that, he's going to do the other 2 years here in the capital city. And Johnny went to school and did exactly that. He went in, came, did what he went there to do, and finished. And he came out. And it was now time for a job. Now, this was the part where, you know, he started being exposed to the world. He started being exposed to the world. He started comprehending that people invite others to their houses. No, come and meet my mom. No, come through to my village. No, come through. You know, he has friends now. He has a girlfriend. He's lifing, you understand. And now he's also wondering about these drop-offs. So he buys his car and he decides that no, he's going home. He's going home. He's going to show his mother the car. And he gets there and he notices that their house, right? Their house is just built with wire around Marabona Oshero. And at all, there's like no, there's no gate. And this is something that he went to only check later on. Which I, Mara, our whole angle, right? Here, there's no gate. We just passed through the wire to be there, but there's no gate. So he got home and then he's like, ah, he started pangururing to make a gate, you know, and then he went to call his mother. He said, oh no, I bought a car, and she's very happy. And wow, Johnny, the mother is Johnny, you know, and she is above and beyond, man. And she had hanga domarovu hija, she had cooked, she had, hey, she did everything, slaughtered a goat, hey, she went to chaya enough ikuni, because apparently he likes braai flakes, so she's like, just braai and eat your whole carcass, my friend, eat, and she was so thrilled and happy, and she was looking at the car, and wow, it has tinted windows. And when she was touching the window like this, the window just rolled down. It was a whole girl. Oh, Jenny's mother is too faint. Ah, Johnny then came home with his girlfriend, a chair. Never warned nobody about nothing. Now, in a whole life where we are not accustomed to people, you bring a person and you don't even give me a heads up as your mother. Oh, I'm even wearing my inside clothes, and now I have to meet strangers with inside clothes. You know, my atuka. I'm not even wearing my best dress, and the auntie fainted, my dear, when the window was rolled down. And this girl also, why are you waiting for your mother-in-law to touch the window for you to roll down the window to make your presence known? She gave the poor auntie a whole heart attack, my dear. The auntie fainted. She needs to pick up the mother, like, whoa, and give water, and are you okay? And then the mother's like, oh, I had a dream that there was another person in the car, and then when the window rolled down, my dear, and then she opened, she was talking with eyes closed. She opened her eyes, it's a whole girl. Happy meme. Oh, Auntie Terrace is to scream. Ooh! Ooh! Ay! Auntie Terrace is to scream at the girl like, ooh! Like, uncle, ooh! Like, hey! Come, Pasela, Jeffrey, my soul, man!
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month, and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.Africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always prepared.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the first time that Johnny had ever seen his mother angry. His mother was furious, and she even ran away, and she went to hide Monjugo, and then she went to change, and she was just very, very upset with this boy, and she was upset, and the girl is like, Johnny, Jay. Because in the city, we don't say John. Yeah, we say Jay. Jay, like your mom hates me. Hi. And Johnny is like, no, she doesn't hate you. I know she doesn't hate you because she doesn't know you, obviously. So why would she hate you? I think the problem is that I didn't tell her that you were coming, and I thought it would be a pleasant surprise, but I didn't think it through. I think that that's the problem. Now they're trying to figure out what the problem is, most now together, the couple. And this mother is angry. And Johnny goes to the mother's room, and then he explains that, no, this is my girlfriend. Oh, poor auntie's just fainting there. Oh! Johnny got a girlfriend. These people must tell your parents what you guys are doing here in Ushimba. You guys just don't rock up in the village with girls from God knows where. You guys are just rocking up with girls from God knows where, and then we are just supposed to be thrilled. We're just supposed to be happy. Like, oh, Johnny brought a stranger home, or what? What type of happiness are we supposed to be having? So the auntie is there in the Njugo, and she's not happy. She's not talking to Johnny, and she's just very, very angry and upset, and Johnny doesn't know what to do. And then so he calls teacher Maria, his second mom, right? And he calls, and then he's like, ah, yeah, so this is what I did. I came home and I brought the car, but then I came with my girlfriend just to introduce my girlfriend to my mom. But Meme is not taking it very well. She's extremely upset, and I don't understand why she's this upset, because I mean, it's just another human being. And teacher Maria is equally upset. Like, you did what? I'm like, Anoik, what's the problem, guys? Hey, Anoik, Johnny is not allowed to bring people, or he's not allowed to have friends, or what? Hey, Johnny's a big boy, no? So what is the problem here? What's about ne?
Oh, and Chamaria, you can hear Chamaria also just yelling from the other side. And this is the part where Chamaria says, ah, no, give your mother the phone. And then the phone is given over. And Teacher Maria talks to Johnny's mother and explains, which I know, this is what young people do, especially serious people such as Johnny. They introduce the people that they're in relationships with, and this is how, you know, this is how people also go and get married, because you cannot now marry somebody and that has never met your mother. And yeah, this is normal. And then the auntie just starts crying, my dear. And she's like, Johnny, he's going to go. He's going to marry and go and have his own kids there and live his life. And no, not today. Not today. Yes, but not today. Today they are there with you. You must enjoy their company. Johnny, And Johnny's listening to this and he's like, okay, this is hectic. And they ended off with, but you must tell him. Now it's a debate between, just tell him. No, I can't tell him. Just tell him. Oh, no, I can't tell him. Just tell him. No, I can't tell him. Now, Johnny got irritated about this and he's like, tell me what, guys? Just tell me what? Because clearly you guys are doing cat and mouse things. And these cat and mouse things are not working. So please, spill the beans, spill the tea. Tell me what. Then Johnny's mother calls him and aside now into the room and says like, no, have you not noticed? This is the part where she now has to tell him about his whole entire life and his seclusion and the fact that he's just been in the house the whole time. And he never had friends over and he never noticed these things. And he's like, yeah, but isn't that how everybody else grew up? Like just staying in the house. And she's like, she shaked her head. She's like, no, no. Normal people go outside and be with others, but I didn't really allow that. And I became your only friend. And that was our life. And Johnny asks now, why? Now, Johnny's girlfriend is just there at Oshinyanga, at Ehare, snapping, bruh. She's just out here snapping, like, snap. Oh, my goodness. Brother, I'm at mother-in-law's house. I'm at the crib, bruh, village, bruh, life, bruh, flexing, bruh, beautiful, what, bruh. Hey, just nice things. And she's just there TikToking, my dear, doing the most. She's TikToking with the chickens. She's TikToking no ngobe. She's TikToking no mboga. She's TikToking with sticks. Itzy. She's TikToking with gates. She's TikToking with the ground. She's TikToking with everything. Untilimo villager, bruh. We're just chilling at her baby's house. Engineer's wife, well, we're like, ooh, ma'am, wow. You took it there, huh? Okay, cool. I hear you. And So Johnny's mom calls him aside and says like, no, the thing is that it's not really normal the way you grew up, but it was your life and I was just trying to protect you from the world and I was trying to protect you from what people might say. And she was not making a lot of sense and she was going up and about and around. And that's the part where Johnny was like, okay, can we just maybe have this conversation another time? Can you meet now my person? Yeah. And then his mother was like, okay, you know, and she tenyane, you know, then she puts on her best dress, her best Sunday dress, guys. She puts on her best Sunday dress and she puts on her best oshikewa and she puts on her best shoes and she puts on even cream.
Mm-hmm. And she made her face nice and she came out. She even got a handbag. She even carried a handbag because, you know, most probably handbags are good things. Appropriate things. She wore her Sunday best. When somebody says, wear your Sunday best, ne? She wore her Sunday best. She even went with a whole handbag. And then she went to sit them. And then she went to get Omarovogi jam. And she went to get the food that she had prepared. And they sat there and she met the girl. And the girl is friendly. Oshwambo is very, very, very broken. But she was very loving and she was trying really. Meme, amenzi kuhole nai. Amenzi hole no okana koe. Okana koe Johnny. Okana koe Jay. Okana koe kawa momtima. And okawa. One night, even in bed. But luckily we don't understand English. So that part Johnny turned around and looked at his girl and he's like, no, not the bed part. Don't tell her about the bed part. Yeah? So, But yeah, amendili nawa, amendish kuteka, amendish kuchava oikuni, amendish kuteleka no hope of fire. So amendili nawa, mami, amendili mumbo, ga, you know, and I'm kind of nawash, you know, and Johnny's mom is very, very loving. She's fully accepting. So she's one of those that, like, as when the girl started talking, she also just became in the mood. She's like, yes, yes. So if she was talking, if she was hyping, if you were hyping her up about running, ne, you guys would go and run a marathon with her because she's hyperable. She's like Johnny the first day of school. Like that. Oh, no, nah. Yes. So this girl is talking, you know, meme, I'm in the holiday, nai. And the mother's like, Auntie Johnny, Jay or Jan? Eh? Hi, Jay, or Johnny, at Teta Pafupi, Pifadurongi Sara, or on the Diotango. Oh, on the Diotango, eh, Dina Joy. Eh, oh, Pife Kushin Bahuya, oh, we san, Jay. Eh, that's the, oh, come, quiet, hi, with an ala, Jay. Eh, we can have with an ala.
Ega meno jomau yare lego komarungura, kalishi ashike upsaka diopa uteknika, oliriwo omkundu opashigwana, upsaka diopaliko, no hashivuru okuyamoshi para uhupiro uongeshefa. Oshinimo mtumba wa Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition omvoma ovigaji miongo mbalina hamano. Iikondo epangero mahanga no gopa umwene, uministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe, onetamu isanwa, muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburu wa mete. Tekero, esikuwa minongo mbali naga alisikuwa mbali naga nega apiriri maovigali minongo mbali naga mano ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge Movenduka, oshiparashi kundathanwa okuanja gane kuyerele kombinga uko shoki wopo ungomba ano saiba hejin, kena una oku ironge kithira omashongo wako marungura no marongo kekopopeko jerongitho jo marungura na iru inji koneka, omahangano ohandimwe ni kondo mbokata mkatu maa akaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano, otamukape wa ompi ito yom tugu mwe awedhu wapo hasho ashikeshoka pethimbo yom tumba ugo tungoka otaku kakarao VIP Cyber Gala Dina nuyere lounji wa maisha angitho no mapurapuro kwa tatha na nayo kondoraje tatu imwe onda tuyatano omgo ijeali nenge ko email info@dstech.com.na nenge utarele pwepanja jao jopa ungomba ko www.dstech.com.na Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition Securing Namibia Digital Future.
Jay, we can help with Hannah John. Aye, Johnyanua Elena, and Atenana, Shashino, Teno Fende Danje, no Kumekanje, Atenana, Trong for Madden and Gil Mare, Shashino Madden and Gil Mare, Umalena. Oh, pifa amuisanara maruka zina. Oh, yarwano. Ye nkwe nyoji? Hae, nkwe tu.
Umpato Lakisha. Jay. Lakisha. Jay. Can I push him away? Shame. Laquisha. Yeah, her name is Laquisha, bruh. She comes from this African-American parents that went to live there in America and go and name their kids Laquisha as if they're not going to come back to Namibia and just be here amongst the Elizabeths. Yeah, Elizabeths. Yeah? So, Laquisha. 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 Iti je toshili jonyo shije kena pwisheli milomo shiwambo romela kanjatu njatu popi I can amoeli and then he turns around kucha or actually my mom is asking don't you have like a traditional name Laquisha don't you have a traditional name because she can't really catch the Laquisha name so don't you have a traditional name and Laquisha is like yeah I mean Dina Lomoshuambo Dina Edina Lomoshuambo and it is Ndafa Ndafa means happy so I'm in Ndafa Ndafa. Oh, okay. Moshi kwa nyama. Ukucha, akuruntue ya kwa nyama. Oshwara ye kilongere kumbada yoshirongo. Okonea ningo mvuradhi hendo no. Yenayo kwa vare wane kumbada yoshirongo. Opone ngika kufwa ne edhi nando no. Alukirwane onku kathi ngika kwa hui. Oh, hayo osho. Okay, Ndafa. Yes, auntie. What's She's doing the things, guys. We're like, Ella. Shitenya, say what? Waza, waza. That's exactly what I want for myself. You know, Shitenya, say what? Waza. Mm-hmm. So, and his mother was fully inviting. His mother was very happy, even though she was not ready for company. And she was not really... She didn't expect it and she was not ready for company. She embraced Ndafa with both hands and she loved her and she was trying and it was just an overall beautiful, beautiful weekend. Okay, so Monday morning came and Ndafa and Jay, they had to leave most now. And Kuku, darling, dearest, you know, she was crying. And she's like, Ndafa, you know? Because she's like, she's already in that vibe of like, Ndafa. Ndafa must stay for life forever. He will never have another one. Just Ndafa forever. And she is crying because she's gonna miss them but she's so happy they came and she even learned kucha nagaruke wanditingin. No, you should return. Hi. Don't titile takabuna shaya shimwe ushiboshe kashona. You must come back. Ndafa, you must come back. Come back. Mm-hmm. Yes, mama. Yeah, of course. This is my home, Meme, I'm in Dili Mumbonga. Ndu dite nawa. Ndadia nawa. Kwete. Ndandu kama jina kandiwana mo kashoti. I have to open it. So, Meme, I'm in Dili Mumbonga. I love it here. Ondiku hole. You know, and yeah, she made two full chickens, my dear, for the people's podcast. They ate one. Already in the house and two full ones to drive with and one that they are going to put in the fridge and go and cook themselves, my dear. When people are saying have one child so that you have enough resources so that you can give your child a whole carcass to eat you and your lover for the weekend, it's ikusenyo kwenye ikusenyo shimba ikusenyo nkara man.
You guys don't want, you guys want multiple children. Ha! So as they were driving out, you know, Moses, there was no gate. So, Jay made a makeshift gate. So he cut the wire and then he fixed it up and then he took like a couple of sticks and then he bound them together and then he made a makeshift gate where he just put like a padlock thingy around it or a drat thing around it so that, imunas, they don't go in. So that livestock doesn't go in, destroy the field. So as they were driving out, there was like a small car group that kind of formed just outside there. Yeah? And literally these people were just standing there and Tangungutura like, and he couldn't hear, but also he knows nobody because remember, our special child has never been outside. He went to make friends there. At the outside, he didn't make friends in the village. He didn't even know that in his village there are people. He used to see people walking around, but it was never close, in close proximity. So he drives the car out and then he closes now the makeshift gate and then he sees his mother, but his mother is not standing in the road. His mother is like standing behind a bush, but she's crouching down like she's peeping and he doesn't understand this. And he's like, oh, hello, what's happening here? And he goes up to them. And he's asking, like, the more closer he's walking towards them, the more they are moving backwards. And now he's asking, hey, like, what's up? Can I help you with something? And one of the women, like, just points at him and says, Mana olozi. And he's like, what? Literally, Mana olozi means child of a witch. Da-da-da-da. Child of a witch? Like, what you mean, child of a witch? Go man, I go lozi. Nya lozi. Eh? I lozi, ya mo, I lozi, tan lo guantu. Kemulio, tan lo guantu, pongkunda, matan jantu. What's that? Like, evil skill, like, out of nowhere. It is now him is getting backlash. He's getting like words. Apparently, them, the witch people, basically Johnny is the son of a witch, product of witchcraft. And them, they have been killing people in that village ever since the beginning of time. And it's them. They are witches, 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 witches. They are witches. Hey. Johnny's like, wait a minute, what? I, like, no, we are not. Yeah. Shout to my rosy, out of the shamanikangi, out of the Akingo, how to anua, or how to, yeah, out of that, tuka no ma huil, on dirke huungay, dime huungay, You know, he's asking like, oh, am I in an owl like this or am I on an owl? Because witches don't drive cars. Witches fly. Don't drink and drive. Hey, stay safe. What's up? Yeah. So he's fighting back, you know, and then he turns around and he's looking at his mom and his mom is running the kilometers. Ne? His mom is running, but She's running like from bush to bush, you know? And like she's hiding from the people. And Johnny's like, you know what? I'll just call my boss. Yeah. And then I'll tell him that I have a situation. I've never missed work anyways. I'll tell him that I have a situation and then I'll maybe just go and hear about it. Because this is also the first time that he's noticing that there are people in his village. You know, there's a whole life. Yeah. People, living people that are here and he's never seen living people that are there. He's like, it's a shocker. So he decides that no, he's going to drive back inside and he's going to lock up. And these people are now, you know, they are making, they are,
they are throwing salt, throwing salt for the witches. They are all up in arms. The crowd is gathering. The crowd is big. You know, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he's like, but if I leave my mother here with these people here, I'm afraid that they're going to do something to her. Is that why she's hiding? So he opens the gate and then he drives back inside. Then he locks the gate. But John is a cool guy, my dear, and fire also, so he's not afraid of anybody. And he has a gun. He's like a licensed firearm owner. So he's not even worried about menial things like strange people from the village harassing. He goes back inside the house and then he's like, yo, wetenga, like, do you see the commotion outside, mama? And what's happening? And his mom is running and she's hiding behind bushes, checking, you know? And then he picks her up from the road, like, she's like, get in. Now Mother Dearest doesn't know how to get into cars. And the whole time that they went there for the weekend, the car didn't move. Because Johnny doesn't know those outside life things, so they didn't go to kuka shops, they didn't go to bars, they didn't do anything, they were just in the house as he grew up. So the car didn't move. So now Mother Dearest has to come into the car. So Johnny opens the back door with his one arm and then he's like, Londa, Mother Dearest, guys, you would be laughing. You are laughing because you are having bad manners. Like, don't laugh at elders. You will not see the gate of heaven. You are laughing because an old woman cannot get into a car. Eh? The way she's getting into a car, my dear, she's on all four. She's on her knees. She's on her hands. She's first holding on to that thing, that stepping thing that you step, or she's holding on to that one. And then she climbs, like, she's climbing over, like, he's like, wait a minute, guys. Whoa. I don't think my mother knows how to get into a car. So he comes out of the car and the car is still running. And she's like, wait a minute. This is it still running? Ooh, she's just going. Mm-mm. She's not dealing with it well, but okay. So he picks her up and then he puts her into the car and she's sitting there and closes the door. And it's her first time. It looks like it's her first time in a car, my dear. And he gets into the car and then the car moves and then she screams, ow! Like, whoa. Okay. And then there's most now aircon in the car also. So it's like a little cold breeze that came. And he's like, matala lamo kai? Kalu se kai? And that's when Johnny realized that maybe my mother has never been in a car. But okay, cool. But anyways, the witch story. So they go into the house and he gets his mom out of the car. He picks her up out of the car so that she doesn't have to fall over, because if she can't get into a car, then she can't get out of a car. It's just logic. You bad person that is laughing there. You with bad manners. You are laughing. You are laughing at June's mother. Change. You're laughing at Jenny's mother. Eh? Who would laugh at your mother if your mother didn't know how to get into a car, you guys, and get out of cars? So they go into the house and Jenny's like, hi, Meme. Like, tell me, talk. You know? And two girlfriend here is like, no, don't worry, Popyane, it's cool, I got it. Like, I understand why you're frustrated, babe. I understand, like, why you're mad. Like, why these people coming to attack us? Is it because we are fire? Is it because we are couple gold? Like, come on. Johnny just looked at her and smiled and he's like, I don't know how you made it, but cool. Okay. So he asked, like, what's up? And then Johnny's mother tells him that ever since she was born, right? They were born of a bloodline that was not allowed to give birth to boys. If boys were born in their family, they would die. And if they died, it would be one of those
things that happen. Now, their mothers and their mothers' mothers and their mothers' 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 mothers and all of that, they were not allowed to have husbands, and they were allowed to have only one child, which was supposed to be a daughter. Now, the thing that happened is that somewhere, somehow, her mother, right? Guys, this is now where the stuff gets juicy, hella juicy. You're like, whoa, bro. So somewhere, somehow, along the way, her mother, Johnny's grandmother, had given birth to twins. And they were girls, but they were unidentical twins. And now one had to be hidden from the family. And one was now the daughter, the ultimate daughter. And this one was the one that was outside. And this one was the one that was allowed to have a life. And it was said that every single man that they meet, the man dies after they copulate, something like black widow spiders. Like, they eat their mates after they get pregnant, so... But it was like that. So in the villages that they had lived, this became known about their bloodline, and people assumed them to be witches. And since she in her bloodline is an abomination, she had to now come and reside here. And then she met this beautiful gentleman that was the love of her life, Johnny's father. And Johnny's father was hung in those old villages. He was hung for fraternizing with a witch. He was hung for fraternizing and sleeping with a witch, and she had to flee. And by the time that she had fled, she was already pregnant. So she came to set up a house here, and her sister, her twin sister, had gravitated towards her eventually in life. And that is why when he was three, he then started going to school to Teacher Maria. Teacher Maria is his mother's twin sister. But in their bloodline, they were not allowed to touch. They were not allowed to talk. They were not allowed to exist. So he, by default, is supposed to be Maria's child, because she was an abomination, because she is the second twin. She's not the first twin that came out. She is the second twin, so she was not supposed to exist. And hence why, if she was not supposed to exist, he was not supposed to exist. And that is why Maria's eggs are bound, because Johnny is Maria's son in the spiritual realm, per se. And that is why Maria loves him so much, because in another lifetime, Maria is his mother, because his actual mother is not supposed to exist. Bruh, Auntie Dearest says this. Johnny instantly gets it. I open a bam, wah. And he's astonished. He's like, wait, what? What sci-fi movie things are these? And he knows that his mother tells no fibs and tells no lies, and she's a pure woman. And he understood. So he's like, oh. So is that why you guys gave money in envelopes and you guys never touched and all of that? He's like, yes. Because they gravitate towards each other. And that's even when the part where, Jay's mom, Johnny's mother, even says that even as we speak right now, Teacher Maria, her house is just there. I've never left this place, Ekovi. She has never left Enkoro Janjao. Like, basically, she has never left the yard, but she knows exactly where Teacher Maria stays.
And Teacher Maria has never been in her house. The last time they had been in one setting together was when they were younger with the mother. And after that, they were just banned from touching, banned from speaking, banned from existing. And they just basically communicated telepathically. And, hectic. So Johnny's like, whoa, I need leave for 2 months. Baby girl, I'm just going to book you a flight and then you go. Because, whoa, I just found out I'm a witch. And that was the story of Johnny, guys. That is why it played out the way it did. And then he also went on to ask, like, but how come I never saw these things? And she said that apparently he was born with a veil that covers things that would otherwise be obvious for others were not obvious for him, because also he was not supposed to exist because he is a boy and he is in an all women bloodline and he's not supposed to exist, but they could not slaughter him because they are just supposed to take a knife and just whoosh. And then, you know, let the blood run and whatever. So his mother and himself were not meant to exist. So that is part of why he had like a veil. And like I said, he was inquisitive about school things and other things, but he was not inquisitive about his home situation. And there was nothing out of the ordinary for him at all. You know, and that's when he also went on to ask, Kucha, okay, so at soccer matches and at school things, like, were you there? And then she's like, I was there, but I just couldn't come out into the public because I don't exist. I'm not supposed to exist. And that is why there's now a whole mob of people that want to come and basically execute me because I'm not supposed to exist, and people thought I don't exist, and here you are, making doors. Why you do that? But anyways, so that was all she wrote, guys. That was the story of Johnny. Even when I heard it, I was like astonished, like, wow, deep. So he stayed at home for a couple of months, just to grasp everything. And then, he called also Teacher Maria to come and just spend the day there and just be family, basically. And yeah, it went well. It went well. They became closer, but some customs remained the same. Some customs remained the same simply because they were not meant to happen. So they still don't touch. They still don't talk. So he was just bringing them together so that something can be explained. And that was all she wrote, ladies and gentlemen. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was the story of Johnny, in case you were wondering, in case you are terrified. It is good to be terrified and to understand that the world doesn't revolve around you. There are people out there with real life issues, and their issues are of that magnitude. So you with problems like, which jean am I wearing tomorrow? These are not real problems, okay? They're not real problems. You that's like, oh my goodness, like, that's not a real problem. People are fighting identity crises. People are fighting origins. People are fighting where they come from. Real battles. Because now you are a whole witch overnight and you are a taboo and you're not about to exist. But still you did. So imagine starting your life knowing that. So before you go to bed tonight, thank your stars, thank your universe, thank your maker, that you are just an ordinary somebody. Just ordinary. Yeah, you are having problem, but at least it's not problems of not existing, not being a witch. It's not problems like that, okay? You are just having normal, ordinary problems. Just normal. So thank your lucky stars for that. From me, the matriarch, I bid you farewell.